I'm Marco Werman. This is The World. If you follow world music, you know Angélique Kidjo. She's a singer and activist from the West African nation of Benin. She's also a friend of our show. And full disclosure here, my mother did some translation work for Angélique's new book. It's a memoir titled Spirit Rising, My Life, My Music. Angélique Kidjo also has a new album called Eve. Angélique Kidjo, it's always so great to see you. I'd like us to focus on just a couple of songs from the new album, Eve. This first one is called Mbamba, and it's important to talk about because my understanding of how it happened kind of triggered a lot of collaborations on this whole album. So how did it all start?
Well, it all started, I think, a year and a half ago when the new head of UNICEF was really worried about the consequences of stunting. Stunting is acute malnutrition of a newborn baby. From the conception of the child till the child turned two, before those 2 years, we still have, if we treat the child early enough, we can transform that. And I went to Kenya with UNICEF. So I arrived in the Samburu district, and we had to visit two villages. And the first village we arrived in, it was emotionally drenching.
Why?
Because there was a child of 18 months that couldn't sit by himself. Couldn't hold his head straight. Could barely cry. He was like,
That's how malnourished he was.
Oh my God, this is too bad. And the mother was pregnant, 5 months pregnant, and stunted too. And then I was a little bit mad because I was just like, this cannot continue like that. We got fixed or some problem. We got to do it fast. And we left from that village and go to the second one. I was like, not knowing if I have to cry, what I have to do. It's just like as a mother, I was sore. My soul was sore, and I was a little bit lost, and it fuzzy a little bit. And I walk into the second village, and it was completely different. I mean, different everything. They were welcome with that song. As my head was fuzzy, and my whole body was aching from the pain of the first visit, and they start singing that song, and I start having chill down my back. And my heart started pounding out, like shivering to get out. I mean, I just was drawn. I couldn't even help it. I did not think. I was not in the mood of thinking about my album. I was not thinking about any of that. I was just drawn by the beauty and the strength that comes out of those voices. And I'm like, this is what it is really in Africa. You can have a very, very challenging and very emotional moment. And at the same time, the other coin, side of the coin, it's just bright.
Your husband, Jean Ebrai, I gathered, recorded this on a smartphone or some recording device, and that became sort of the scratch source composition for Mbamba.
Absolutely, because he saw me, he knows so well, he saw me grappling with where I was before. And he's always on the back, never tell me what I have to do. But he saw that that moment, he starts seeing the healing coming up.
It's a powerful story you tell, and it just strikes me that you are one of the few musicians we can talk to about what's the source of a song, and you tell me this incredible story about child malnutrition. And let me set up this next question. A song that you wrote about women in war zones and the lack of inclusion in post-war solutions. Was there one particular war in Africa where you saw how women were left out of the process?
All of them. When the South Sudan have his independence, all those women from South Sudan that I met in the refugee camp in Chad, I went there and met them. They talked to me. Their story, till today, impacted my sleep. It took me all those years to live with those horror story of those women to be able to talk about it today. I mean, it was in 2005, and I came back, and my husband didn't know what to do with me because I was just like walking around like a zombie. But one thing that I take from those women that really kept that story alive and empowering for me is that at the end of our meeting, of hours of listening to those horrible stories, they said to us, what we want from you is to go out there and use your power for us to go back to our home in safety and security to be able to put our kids to school and get our life back. Please don't victimize us a second time. We've enough of stigma. Mm. We don't want to be seen as victim. We just want to get on to our life.
It struck me when I saw you perform recently that your show has the same energy and vitality and fun as it always had, but you're also becoming much more of almost a lecturer, and I don't mean that in a bad way, mm-hmm. but a teacher, and really bringing your activist chops on stage. What do you think American activists who get involved in Africa don't understand? Because you speak from a position of authority because you're African.
Yeah, the thing is that I learn from the women of Africa all the time when I go back, is sometimes from my mother, is that I learn to listen differently. And words in Africa means a lot. For there's a saying in my country that goes, words are like eggs. When they fall, you can pick them back up. So you got to think twice before you speak. So it demands from anyone that wants to help Africans to hear it from the Africans. The solution, we have it. We might not have the means. If you bring the means, bring your brain with it. Mm. Bring your heart with it. Sit with us. See us as equal to you. We might not speak your language very well, but we live in the reality that you want to help us transform. But how can you transform our reality from afar if we don't tell you what it is, if you don't sit with us to carve a reality that fits our needs that we can live up to when you leave?
Let me ask you a real practical question, final question. You're 53 years old. This is not a secret, public knowledge. And it should be public knowledge because anyone who will see you perform knows that you've got some special secret going on. So without telling us a special secret, how much longer can you keep doing this?
I don't know.
I mean, you're out there for 2 hours just putting out just the most amazing energy.
I know, as long as my body can do it, I do it. My age never occurred to me anytime. I woke up in the morning, I just go.
Do you think your activism is fueling your energy in music and maybe vice versa?
I don't know.
No?
It's the energy in the family. I mean, my mom has so much energy. She's 87. We are trying to slow her down. And she's like, leave me alone. You're going to see me. My both grandmother died over 100 years. So I'm here.
You're around for a while.
I'm around for a while.
Singer and activist and author Angélique Kidjo. I couldn't resist asking her to sing for us. And after some hesitation, she finally stepped up to the mic.
Awalole riegbe mi ni baba. Awalole riegbe iwo ni baba. Awalole riegbe mi ni baba o. Awalole riegbe iwo ni baba. To ba fegbe kongoni o.
Awani.
To ba fegbe orisha o.
Awani.
Awalole riegbe mi ni baba.
Don't want to miss the video of Angélique singing in our studio. Check it out at PRI.org. And that's our program for today. From the Nan and Bill Harris studios at WGBH in Boston, I'm Marco Werman. We'll be back tomorrow.